I just want you to know that everyone at New Hope doesn't have this hairstyle or lack of hairstyle. It might just be me and Doc, so it's okay. But it's really good to be here today and just hang out with you. My name is Ben. I'd love to meet you afterwards if we get a chance to chat. I brought my dad up because this morning was so good. I just like, Dad, you got to come up with me. So this is my dad here, Ross. So make sure you say hello as well, which is cool. So it's nice to be with you. I'm married. My wife's name's Rebecca. And this morning I thought it was quite interesting that Ben and Rebecca were leaving. And then I came up and said, well, my wife's name's Rebecca too. So there's a nice sort of connection there, which is cool. I've got a boy who's 13 who viciously beat me in basketball this afternoon, just one-on-one. He's getting about my height. And then I've also got a daughter who's 16. So getting into L's, all that sort of stuff happening, which is good. So that's me. So it's good. Hey, we should pray and just dedicate this time to the Lord. It's pretty cool when we get around the Word of God, I think. And I don't want to waste time. I want to just get into it and let God do what He does, hey? So it'd be cool. Would you open your hearts with me? Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what You do with Your Word. And You speak to hearts far beyond my voice. You speak into hearts tonight. And Lord, we just ask that these words would come alive in people's lives across this week. May there be something practically that people can take with them throughout this week that would help them, encourage them, bless them, comfort them, support them. Whatever is needed, Lord, use this word today in mighty ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in New Hope, we've been making our way through the Gospel of John. And I've really enjoyed sort of digging into the Gospel of John. It's been a few years since I've done that. And one of the things that I love about John is he's very, it's very evident what he was trying to do with this Gospel of John. In fact, he blatantly says it in John 20. So I wanted to show you that just before we start off because it's going to set the stage for what we're about to talk about tonight. I want to talk tonight a little bit about Jesus being the light of the world and hopefully bring some context and some weight behind that. But this is what John's trying to do. He says in John 20, he says, Jesus performed many other signs in which the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So he's making it evident. I wonder how many miracles weren't recorded. Like what sort of crazy things happened, you know, arms healed, blind seeing, like just amazing stuff that would be recorded. But he goes on to say this. He says, I don't record all that stuff because my focus is this. He says, these things I've written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. See, John's whole goal is to describe who Jesus is. He wants to tell Jesus who he is. In fact, he's writing to a bunch of people who are questioning their faith. Maybe they've just started in their faith and there's a couple of people who would bring some misdirections in that space. But he's wanting to show who Jesus is amongst a whole bunch of false prophets, a whole bunch of other things. And I think one of the ways that he does it, he talks about Jesus being the light of the world. He says this in John chapter 8. It says in John chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we've got a couple of lights here all over the different place. I don't know if you look at those lights and go, ah, oh, Jesus. What's spectacular about Jesus being the light of the world? Well, I think it gives a little bit of context right after. In verse 20, it says, he spoke these words, teaching in the temple courts, near the place where the offering was put. Now, that might not sound too significant to you at the time, but what I want you to notice is he was teaching it in this place. In fact, if you can skip ahead for one slide, next one, that's where he's teaching it, this part of the temple. It's pretty cool. Because this part of the temple was called the women's court. In fact, it was a place where everyone could gather. Everyone was allowed in this space. And Jesus is teaching in this place, but he's doing it at a particular time. In fact, he's doing it right before, right after a particular festival. So for us, it's pretty cool. We've got Christmas. What else we got? Easter. You know, big celebrations that everyone gathers around. This particular one is one known as it's called the celebration of Sukkot. Can you try and say that with me? Sukkot. You got to be careful with the person in front of you that spit on the back of their head because it's an emphasis, Sukkot. And this one here was celebrating when God's people were in the desert. They literally would, Was it going in and out without me knowing? Oh, that's embarrassing. All right. You're with me now. I was wondering why there were so many blank faces. No, it's good. I could see you trying to get involved. All right. So this Festival of Sukkot, it was also known as the Festival of Shelters. People would set up little tents all around the place. And for that week, they would stay in these tents to celebrate when the children of Israel were in the desert in tents. It's pretty cool. Imagine that for a week. You're out of your home. I can't imagine it right now because it's so cold, but they would do shelters and they would jump into that place. One of the key things for this festival was that they would light those massive big light poles. Can you see them? There's four of them there. They're like 75 foot high and they'd light them. And they would light them up in such a way that it was lit for the whole festival. In fact, if you can show you the next one, these priests would come from the temple and they would tear the garments, use some of their old garments, and they would come out and they would light these massive things. They had to get on ladders to get to the top. It was really cool. So they're lighting these big areas and it's in the place where everyone can see it. It's a little bit like, if I show you the next one, it's a little bit for us, it's like the Olympics. This is Tokyo Olympics, you know, the lighting ceremony. And across the whole ceremony, they would have these lights on and everyone in the city would know that we're celebrating the Feast of Sukkot. So it's pretty awesome. It would look like this when this temple was lit, it was massive. In fact, they said throughout Jerusalem, you would see these lights and it would sort of beam up, I guess. I'm a bit of a basketball fan. Any NBA fans here? Okay, I'm the only one. There's one particular team last year who every time they won, they would light the beam. So at the end of the game, they would sort of hit a big buzzer if they won the game, and it would send a big beam up. I'll show you what it looked like. It looked like this. This is Sacramento Kings every time they did it. The whole city would know that they had won. It was good advertising for the NBA, but it was also just a great way to celebrate. And so it was a little bit like that with this feast. There's this massive light that throughout the whole of Jerusalem, it was lit up and the whole place would know that they were celebrating what had happened with God's people many years ago. In fact, what had happened with God's people many years ago was this next slide. They would have, throughout the desert, if you're familiar with the story of Exodus, they would wander in tents around the desert, and right in the middle of the center of that, right in the middle of all the tents, was a massive flame that represented God's presence. His very presence that was amongst the community of God's people was celebrated like this. So during Sukkot, there was almost this pillar of fire that was shown as a light amongst God's people. John's trying to say, this is Jesus. Jesus is the very presence of God. He's saying that I am the light of the world. This is something that Jesus is trying to represent himself as. But why is that so significant? Perhaps we're too far away today as modern learners, modern Christians, to actually understand what God's trying to say in and through his word. But I want to encourage you, as you jump into scripture, don't just sort of take it for face value. Jump in and understand a little bit, dig a little bit deeper and watch what God does, because he's going to explore a little bit further of who God is. So I want to show you just three things that Jesus is in terms of being the light of the world. Is that okay tonight? Three things that I think represent the light of the world. The first one is God's presence. The second one is God's holiness. And the last one is God's future and hope. See, God, Jesus is the light of the world. In John 1, 9 to 10, it says this. And we'll put it up on the screens. It says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world." Let me just say this again. This is a bit of a tongue twister. Is it okay? It's not too late at night to follow this. It's hard for me to say it. Okay. "He was in the world and through the world, though the world was not..." Sorry. Dad, you need to just read this for me. Do me better.
"He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Sorry, there we go. Well done, Dad. So I want to show you this picture one more time. When it came to the Exodus story, the way that people knew that God's presence was amongst them was this fire that was in the middle of the community. That was God's presence. That was his divine nature that decided not just to be so far removed away from where people were, detached like that. Our God wants to be very much a part of your everyday life. He wants to be involved. He understands the situations you're involved with, the anxieties you have, the situations with your friends or whatever it might be. God wants to be very much present in amongst his people. And this is what God's saying with Jesus. I wonder if you have that kind of relationship with Jesus. Jesus who leaves the 99, we've just sung about it, to come after you and be very much involved with your life. That's the kind of Jesus that we have. In fact, if we go back to that temple scene, that's what Jesus was saying. He was standing outside just after this festival and saying to them, "I'm the light of the world. I'm very present. In fact, I'm doing this teaching in a space where everyone is invited into here." Not only that, the priests who are usually tucked away in the Holy of Holies with little lighting candles have now come out and brought this massive light that is available to everybody. You know, today, you need to understand that Jesus wants to be very much a part of your life. He wants to be very present and in and amongst you and what you're doing. In fact, in the New Testament, we see a scene similar to our next one here, where the flames no longer just reside right in the middle of the center of what's going on, but there's a prayer meeting with a whole bunch of Christians where little flames start to appear over the top of people's heads. Have you read this in Acts? It seems quite strange, but once again, it's saying you are filled with the Holy Spirit. God's presence is very much on the inside of you. He wants to be not only present in your situation, but dwell in your life in such a way that his presence resides on you. Jesus is the light of the world. He wants to be very much a part of you. He wants to anoint you for whatever situation you're in. Maybe it's your school, maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's whatever. But Jesus wants to move into the neighborhood. He wants to be a part of the community that you're in. And he wants to use you and your relationship with him to be able to do that. Isn't that an amazing thought? The God of the universe that created light and darkness wants to be the light in your world and your situation. You know, humanity is limited if it tries to do things by themselves. But us in partnership with God, you watch what happens. It becomes unlimited through our access through Jesus Christ. Your present situation might not change. You might still have anxieties. You might still have pressing things on your life. But the very presence of God with you makes all the difference. In fact, can I show you how this works? Let me show you how this works. If I'm walking down a bit of a dark alley, I mean, I'm a scrawny white boy. I don't think I can take on too many people. I would be a little bit scared in some situations, in some corners of Sydney. But if I was to change that around, let me just show you an example. Can you help me out with an example? Sorry, what's your name? Asher. Asher, can you help me out? If Asher was with me, and what's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle, if Kyle was with me, come up here. Now, I'm standing here now, and maybe if one of you guys can jump over here. If I'm walking in a dark alley now with these guys present, everything changes. The situation's the same, but who's with me changes everything. Look at this guy. I mean, he could take out 10 people. You could take out another 15, right? Amazing. There's a sense of confidence we can have because we have the very presence of Jesus with us. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you. God says, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And what he's saying is he's very present with you in your situation. He's saying, I am the way. I'm the only way that God can be present in your situation. Second one is this. God is saying, Jesus is saying, I'm holy. We go to the next one. God's holiness. We have access to God's holiness. Jesus being the light of the world represents God's holiness. In fact, I feel like we just got a little bit lighter. Did that get lighter? That's just me. Okay, sorry. Maybe it's just the screen because it's white. Is that all it was? Okay. Told you I was a rookie. All right. Watch this. Let me show you this next picture. Have you seen this before? These photos, they take a photo and the first one on this side is what you would usually see. The second side is ultraviolet light. And it shows a lot more. Can you see a few more freckles on the right side than on the left side? It's a little bit intrusive, I think. Hopefully, they're not taking photos like that of me. But it's interesting that ultraviolet light shows a lot more than other lights. In fact, they use it. You ever seen crime scenes and the ultraviolet light picking up all that stuff? Jesus is the light. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, remember this one? Sunday school one, right? That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now watch this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God, God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Listen to this. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be seen plainly, that they may have what they have done in the sight of God. Now watch this. This is interesting. When we think of our holiness, as we make our way towards God, we have certain feelings. In fact, you read the scripture and there's certain people that have crazy feelings. When God turns up, they're kind of freaked out. They're scared. They're like, I'm a sinful man. There's parts of me, I don't want you to see God. It's more comfortable in the dark in some ways. But holiness, the only thing that we should fear with holiness is that it can deal with the sin that is in our life. You know, sometimes we hide away our sin thinking that we can deal with it in and of ourselves. But God, being the light, actually wants us to bring that into the light that he might be able to deal with things that are unseen in our world. I want you to encourage you that holiness is powerful. Holiness is the very thing that deals with sin in our life. It's not something to be afraid of, but there's something about us that wants to hide out inadequacies, the things that are wrong in our life, but it's as we expose them in a safe space with God that he actually can deal with them. And then we can continue to move on in our life. Does that make sense? Sin brought before holiness is dealt with. Sin hidden away or taken away from God can never be dealt with. And we in ourselves don't have the capacity to deal with that ourselves. You know, for the people of God, it was moving ourselves into the temple to make sacrifices for forgiveness. That space where the fire was on top of the tabernacle was the very space where they were given forgiveness for their sins through sacrifice. And today, what it looks like for us is an engagement and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we come to him and say, look, we can't do this. I can't deal with the things that are in my life that where I've missed the mark, where I've messed up, with relationships are continually spiraling downwards. I can't do it. I've tried it in my own strength. And God goes, finally, they've come to me, entered into my holiness and wanted to deal with the sin that is in their life. Does that make sense? Welcome to church on Sunday night. I don't know if you thought you would talk about sin and go that far, but I love God's holiness. See, Jesus is saying, I'm the light. I am the truth. This truth is going to expose some things as you move closer and closer to me, but I'm not exposing those things to make fun of you or to point it out in such a nasty way. I want to deal with those because I love you and I care about you and your family and those sorts of things. Last one, Jesus is the light because he represents God's future hope. John 1:1-5 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This eternal being from the very beginning, he was with God and he was in the beginning with God. And through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And it goes on to say, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is a promise of things to come. If I was to return again to that scene in the wilderness with that pillar of fire, the children of God followed that pillar of fire all the way up to the promised land. It was never meant to be forever, that pillar of fire. It was meant to lead them into a promised land, into where God had promised them and given them a hope and a future. And today, that's what Jesus represents for us, a future hope. This life only lasts for a little while. And what we do in this life really does matter for eternity. Is that something a gladiator said? What did he say? Russell Crowe, do you remember? Is anyone? All right, no gladiator fans in the house. What we do in this life matters in eternity. What we do in this life and our decisions about who Jesus is in our life actually matter for eternity. I want to encourage you, when Jesus says he's the light, he wants to point a direction in an eternal life with our Lord and Heavenly Father. I know what he says. What we do in this life echoes in eternity. Anyone else? Okay, you've got to go watch Gladiator. It's a powerful moment. You know it? All right, that's good. Made me feel okay. In Jesus is our only access to abundant and eternal life. Jesus being the light of the world represents the future life that we have in him. Our future is secure. This life is temporary and that life is eternal. And today I want to encourage you to know that Jesus is the light of the world. He wants that future hope for us. So last question again is, who is Jesus to you? He is the light of the world. He's a future hope. He is holy, but he's also, what was the first one? God's presence. I want to encourage you today to have a personal relationship with Jesus, to continue to be encouraged with his presence, with his holiness, and with that future hope. May it be something today that you walk out and you ask the question, who is Jesus to you? Not as who is Jesus to your family or friends or other church members, but who is he to you? May it be something of encouragement as you continue to seek who Jesus is. And may he be the way, may he be the truth, and may he be the life in Jesus' name. Can I leave you a last picture with the fire again? Think about this across this week. Can I pray for you? Father, I just pray for this group of people. Thank you that they've taken the time out to gather here tonight and they've done it on purpose. It's not just being to gather, not just being to meet new people, but it's been something to put you first in their lives, understand more of who you are. And I pray tonight that who you are as a person, being the light of the world, would illuminate in our hearts tonight. May you set people on fire for your presence, your holiness, and your future hope. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for listening.